The floor is lava. No, seriously, it's lava. Will not be heard tonight, so that we may bring you some hot game show conversation.
This is Gordon Pepper. And, well, we made it to 2024, most of us anyway, so congratulations on that. Yay!
Yeah, okay, look, okay, I must have had too much of the hard apple cider. Why am I still wearing a baby New Year sash and a diaper?
That is a choice. You made that choice.
I did make that choice, yes. But it's the new year, and we have new shows. And one of them was one of the hottest, most anticipated debuts in the U.S. One, meh. And the other is one of the most anticipated debuts in the U.K., and we've seen it. And we'll talk about that. What else we got, Chico?
What else we got? We've got all the news. We've got the first week of 2024 planned out. And do you hear that? It sounds like
a toilet. I hear a toilet.
I hear a toilet. Yes. And by the way, I took out all the holiday chips, and I have a sort of a winter frost scent if it goes down, if we have a clock.
Well, I actually am going to throw in some peppermint bark on there and a little bit of eggnog because you didn't drink all the eggnog.
No, I didn't.
You still have some leftover.
All right, fine. We can do that too. But we've got, it's the super toilet. So, Chico, let's start out 2024 with a bang. Let's go.
Boom! How's that for a bang?
How's that?
Okay.
Somewhere in America, this episode of We Love to Interrupt, a light show, so we're spending way too much time on the intro to pad this thing up, is on.
Let's go!
Whee!
And happy new studio. This is the 5-1 production, episode 427 of WLTI, January 3rd, 2024, as we record this. My name is Jason Block, your strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy, with always my brothers from another mother, Chico Alexander and Gordon Pepper. Gentlemen, happy new year.
Happy new year to you. Hope you are staying safe. Hope you are staying warm, because it is cold outside, if you haven't noticed.
I've noticed, and we might get the first significant snow in 2 years in New York City.
Are you
City
kidding
this week.
Me?
That's right. More than
we're actually going to have more on that, and some confetti that looks like snow, and some of that starting with a really nice New Year. But let's start with almost all things Jeopardy right now, since that's one of the few shows that we're getting current programming on. From both here in America and across the pond. We'll get to that also later. But right now, let's talk about the United States version of the tournament variety. Chico, please.
All right, we're going to start with a celebrity game. It's the first celebrity game of 2024, and it's the beginning of the semifinals with Utkarsh Ambedkar from Ghosts, Mira Sorvino, legendary actress and Goodwill ambassador, and, of course, Lisa Ann Walter, another legendary actress, because we have three legendary actors.
No Becky Lynch?
No, she didn't make it. But what happened?
She did have a legendary performance.
She had a legendary flame out is what she had.
Yes, so what happened in the final? How did it get to?
Okay, so how do we get there? So, first of all, Utkarsh, after the Jeopardy round, has 15,000. Mira has 2,800. Lisa Ann in the lead with 3,200. After the double Jeopardy round, we have Mira Sorvino with 11,200, Utkarsh Ambedkar with 4,500, and Lisa Ann with 4,400. And in the triple Jeopardy round, going into final, we have Lisa Ann with 17,000, Mira Sorvino with 16,100, and Utkarsh with 8,400. Still anybody's game. but Utkarsh needs to bet wisely. He needs to hope that Mira and Lisa Ann bet against each other and lose, basically.
So the Final Jeopardy category is...
Final Jeopardy category is award-winning actresses. Here is your clue. Her 2019 Oscar win and 2021 Emmy win were both for portraying a British queen.
Oh, ask me a hard one, because I actually know it from one show. And ironically enough, on UK Jeopardy, they talked about it as well as a very easy clue. Who is Olivia Colman? The great actress Olivia Colman, by the way.
One of my favorite parts of Peep Show, believe it or not. I believe she was Big Suze.
Well, I had someone that won an award for her own right, winning an award for playing Margaret Thatcher of all people. I had who is the Vivienne?
Okay, so Utkarsh is correct. He says, "Who is Olivia Colman?" I hope doubles up to 16,800. Mira goes with Helen Mirren. Again, I love Helen Mirren. But that's wrong. She busts out. Utkarsh has to hope that Lisa Ann busts out. She doesn't. She gets Olivia Colman, and she moves on to the finals in 3 weeks' time with 32,201.
And Utkarsh and Mira Sorvino add $30,000 to their charitable totals.
Reminder, Utkarsh Ambudkar was playing for the Emergency Finance Assistance and Disaster Relief Fund, and Mira Sorvino is playing for the Fund for Victims of Human Trafficking.
Okay. So, who moves on to the Champions Wild Card?
Who moves on to the Champions Wild Card? I'm glad you asked that question. So, at the end of last year, we have our three finalists, Christopher Pennant from Chicago, Illinois, Jani Brown from Cincinnati, Ohio, and Greg Saja from San Diego. Going into the first half final, we have Jenny at 17,600, and if I'm mispronouncing that, I apologize. Christopher at 10,200, and Greg at 20,200. Really big scoring game as we go into the Final Jeopardy category of famous names. The clue! In 2023, shortly after his death, his name was added to a Brazilian dictionary to describe one who's superior or out of the ordinary.
Please. Again, this is how you can tell the writers are back. It is one of the greatest people and one of the greatest athletes and one of the greatest human beings in the history of soccer. Who is Pelé, specifically?
Gordon?
I actually had Pelé, but I decided that I was going to do something a little bit silly because that's what you call me for. You call me for the silly.
I do call you for the silly.
So I said, who is Leonid the Magnificent, a.k.a. Jason Block's cousin from Brooklyn?
Of course.
Because Leonid is superior.
He is.
And not to mention, the Magnificent is in his name. I mean, come on.
Exactly. He's not just superior, he's magnificent.
Leonid, by the way, is
very much still alive and doing shows.
Yeah. Mm. Hey, Jason.
Yeah.
Go!
So, I believe everyone got it right, yes?
Yeah, everybody got it right. And as we go into the halfway point, we have Greg at 35,200, Johnny at 29,600, and Christopher at 16,000. Still all of it to play for as we go into the first show of 2024. That would be the Monday show. And going into the final, Greg has 10,600, Johnny has 13,800, and Christopher has 8,600. Now, you recall the scores from before. So, I did all the math of it. I did all the math. Christopher is all but out of it. Mm-hmm. If Greg doubles up and is correct, that puts him at 56,400. If Johnny bets nothing, that still puts her at 43,600. She needs to wager at least 12,801 and be correct in order to advance to the Champions Wild Card coming later this month. The Final Jeopardy to decide it all. Landmarks. The Clue. 203 feet wide, this late 18th century European structure has five portals, the middle of which was, at first, for royals only.
I pulled this one out of my posterior. My dad has actually been to this particular place. What is the Brandenburg Gate? That is, I believe, that also divides East and West Berlin at the time. Now it just divides Berlin.
All of that is true. Jason? Gordon?
Yeah. I said, what is the porta potty by the Berlin Wall?
For royals?
Because, you have the royal throne.
True.
Isn't that what they call it over in Europe, the royal throne? That's the loo.
So, who had what?
Okay, so Christopher went with Big Ben. He bets the nut and loses. Greg has the Brandenburg Gate and bets nothing. He's hoping that Johnny didn't bet anything as well. She doubles up, so she wins the $35,000 and goes on to the Champions Wild Card later this month.
And I believe we are now doing the we're doing week three. I believe this is the last week of the Champions Wild Card, or is there any
more? I believe
more
you are correct.
Yeah, and we've got one more week with this. Now, we have we have three shows to review, and I have actually watched all of them.
Good for you. Yeah, I did.
Should we go with which one should go? Should we go with the foreign one, or should we go with the big American premiere first?
Let's go with the big American premiere because I have things to say about it, and I've been talking. It's like I've been talking to everybody about The Floor, and the thing of it is, I really wanted to like it more than I actually did. Let me explain how this works. You have 81 people representing 81 categories on a 9x9 grid. You have a randomizer choose one person, and that person has to call out somebody connecting their square on the grid. It's like Risk, basically. You go up to the podiums and solve word puzzles or picture puzzles on a big screen. And it's a giant chess clock sort of thing. Each player has 45 seconds. And as soon as they answer a question correctly, their clock stops, their opponent's clock begins. The first person to run out of time loses their spot on the floor. It's Grand Slam, basically.
Couple of other things. If you pass, you lose 3 seconds on the clock.
Uh-huh.
And the person with the most territory accumulated wins, I believe, $20,000 per episode.
Correct. And Mike Klaus had a really good word for it, the chess clock.
It is the chess clock. That is a perfect example of that. The chess clock. That is right. Okay.
All right. And of course, at the end of the series, whoever has conquered all 80 of their foes and conquers the entire floor wins $250,000. So on paper, this works. On paper.
No, it doesn't.
Wait. I'll finish it.
But here's the problem, though, and I am going to cut you off. It doesn't work on paper. And there's enough holes that you can play rock, paper, scissors, and the scissors, you can put the holes through the paper. So, first of all, the one good thing that I have is it looks very pretty. It is very pretty. The production values are very nice. It's a nice, big, shiny floor show. The host isn't terrible. Your mileage may vary with the host. But it's not the worst host that I've ever had. Talk about the host before I completely
Yeah, I'm about to talk. Because Rob Lowe, because Rob Lowe, of course, we remember him from Mental Samurai.
He was so much better in that in Mental Samurai than
he really was. Rob Lowe was great in Mental Samurai. He's not terrible here. It's a different show. It's a different timbre. He's not awful. The biggest issue, and then I'll bring it right back over to you, Chico. The biggest issue is he's sort of stuck with the material that he's working with.
Yeah, and so let's get back to that material, because if you have an hour-long show with seven duels with everybody solving picture puzzles based on their chosen category of expertise, I don't know about you, but that's going to get old and stale quickly.
Well, no, it's not old and stale quickly. It didn't get old and stale in Grand Slam. I mean, I absolutely love Grand Slam. The problem on this show, well, there's a multitude of them. Number one, the format is all wrong. There are so many issues with somebody calling somebody out in 81 squares. Theoretically, I could just sit there and play one round, and it's the last round, and I can win.
That's right. That's exactly the bingo. I thought about that as you think. In other words, the show means zero.
It doesn't. It's like you could. It's like you have like, let's just say you have 80 squares, and this is just you playing absolutely perfect, and it's not going to happen. But you have 80 squares, and you're left with one person who just has one square. All he has to do is beat you and win. It's like Hulk Hogan coming in, doing two moves, and winning the championship belt.
Yeah, there's the boot, and there's the leg drop. And in this game, you want the corner. You don't want to be anywhere near the middle. You want the lowly little corner. I get the fact that, yay, at the end, if you have the most amount of territory, you get 20,000. That's great. But from that standpoint, it doesn't work. That's number one. Number two, in Grand Slam, you had either three, four, or five rounds, depending on what level of play that you were at. You did have five rounds at one point. You don't have that here. You have 45 seconds. If there's something that screws you up, that's it. You're done. And again, it's, as Jason says, if the problem isn't even the repetitiveness. The problem with this is that there's no rhyme or reason to how this works. You have people being eliminated. Fine. If you lose, you're gone. Okay, fine. I guess that's great. Grand Slam had stakes. If you win, you move on to the quarters. You move on to the next round. You've got potential matches coming up with these people that are really high up. I mean, really, if you really wanted to do something, get a season two of Grand Slam. Bring in all the big boys. That would have been fun.
You want to know what I think would have been fun? And I just got this idea thinking about Grand Slam. One of the advantages you get from winning a round of Grand Slam is you get to bank that time and use it on, like, the final round. This would be a really good idea if you could bank the time and use it for your next opponent.
Right. Maybe.
It does give you, at that point, it does give you an advantage if you have three or four rounds versus someone who hasn't played anything. That being said, it doesn't make great TV either if you look at it in terms of a landslide. If I only have 45 seconds, then because of you bank, you challenge me, and you've got like 2 minutes and 12. And you could say that's part of the game, and you can still win, but it's really hard. You know, you did have an upset, but it's there. I mean, if you really wanted to play that clock time thing, why not? And I know why not, because it's a different network. But Beat the Chasers, we couldn't do that.
That would have been fun.
Okay, grades, because we need to move on.
Obviously,
okay.
It's a different network, so you can't do that. But you got Grand Slam on line one, Beat the Chasers on line two. And it's, as Chico said, it's a pretty show. It's a meringue cookie. There's a pretty show, but when you bite into it, it all disappears and vanishes. D, I'm disappointed. I want it better.
Yeah, I'm giving it a D. It's a show that we've seen done before. We've seen done better before. We've seen done faster before. So, yeah, it's a
okay.
D.
Yeah, D is the correct grade. And disappointing because, again, we've seen it before in so many different ways. let's do something different the next time.
It's not even that. You have a concept that works. It's just the gameplay and the execution. You needed better rules. You needed something better.
Right.
Okay. It's there, but you got the meringue cookie. Okay, Chico, next.
Okay, next up is a show that we liked a little bit more than the first one, and not as much as the third one. It's America's Got Talent Fantasy League. Basically,
oh, speak for yourself.
This is what happens when America's Got Talent and The Voice get together and have a little bit of that reunity on ice, and you know.
yeah. Okay, put it this way: this is an F. This is an absolute F. It's peanut butter and motor oil. This is the AGT that no one cares about during the winter time. They get to see all the acts. No one cares. It's an F. I'm not even. You know.
America's Got Talent. The champions come back. All is forgiven.
Yeah, pretty much.
Seriously, this is the game show version of Frankenstein. You put the wrong pieces in the wrong things. It's a blatant ripoff of The Voice, and it's not nearly as good on the execution as The Voice is, or anything else. I'm sad. This makes me sad. It's clearly strike programming, and it makes me sad. If you're really going to do that, so much better you could have done with this. I would watch a 12-hour marathon of The Floor before watch another episode of this. So you're saying speak for yourself. This is a C-. I am sorry. This is going to get a very high C of 2024's March Madness.
It is going to get a very high seed. It's stuff we've done a whole lot better in the past.
And the talent is good. The poor talent. That's what I feel bad for. I mean, I'm glad that the talent's getting paid on this, and you're getting promotion, and you're getting publicity, and that's all good. But the show itself, yuck.
Yeah, it's nice to know that Cody has a new single out. That's all I care about.
This is the best we could come up with, guys? Really?
Seriously?
Okay.
It's a D for me. It's a D.
Well, I just failed it outright because none of their winter concept works for me.
No, okay.
Well, we got a fail and a Z. I'm not even, it doesn't even get an F from me. It's the bottom of the alphabet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. Finally.
Now, this is actually one of the two shows from the UK we're trying to find. The new one, the other one, I believe, debuts late next week, right? Or this week, if I'm putting Wheel of Fortune UK with Graham Norton.
Yeah, that's the one we're waiting on. But the one we got this week is Jeopardy on ITV and ITVX. And again, you know the game. You have the answers. Well,
it's hosted by Stephen Fry, most importantly. That's correct. It is your game of answers and questions. And what they did was that they have two single Jeopardy rounds of 25, 50, 75,
100 and 150.
50 pounds. And in the third round, you have 50, 100, 150, 200, 300, I believe.
Yeah, the third round is double Jeopardy.
Right, and then you have a final Jeopardy, and winner moves on. Very, very simple, very easy. The good, it's Jeopardy. And the questions are, yes, there are some British only, but I hung with some of them because I'm an Anglophile. The questions are very good. The set, you feel like they went to Culver City to film this, but they didn't. They really did this. The graphics package, music are exactly the same, pretty much. And you have a very good feel to this.
I would argue that the set is a whole lot better, because instead of 36 industry grade HDTVs, you have six industry grade HDTVs and a big video wall.
Okay. Yes.
They basically did the Wheel of Fortune.
I really like what they did with the production values on this. Now I know what Jason's going to say because he's going to put it in the bad, but I'm going to put this in the good. two things. Number one, Stephen Fry. And number two, and before you say, well, that's a bet, Stephen Fry is really good, which leads me to number two, which, again, the play, and in this case, usually I say the pace, the slow pace doesn't work. It needs to go fast, fast, fast. The slow pace on this is perfect. When you have a show that's got to go 45 minutes, keep in mind, most game shows in the UK, with the exception of maybe only Connect, go the full hour. Chase is an hour show. Other shows, that Tipping Point is an hour show. Most of these, Pointless is an hour show. Most of these shows go the hour. So Jeopardy is stretched out for the hour. The pacing where you go through all the questions is great. There's nothing that's left. You can squeeze in three rounds comfortably because it's a slower pace and it doesn't feel rushed. And Stephen Fry is good enough. He throws into Stephen Fry-isms. He adds this and he makes this a British show, very much like what Victoria does to Only Connect. And again, if you're an American, you may get the, well, it's not for me because it's too British. For me, because it's a British show, I really like the pacing, and I really like Stephen Fry. All right, you may tell me I'm wrong.
No. Hold on.
Now, I like Stephen Fry. I love him on QI, and I love his work on the things he's ever been in. Think of it as, I can do without him explaining everything, every clue, because we.
But that's what makes it British.
The thing is that Gordon actually changed my mind. Okay, Gordon actually legitimately changed my mind because we're looking at this from an American Jeopardy perspective. Okay. We're not looking at it from a British game show perspective. And we have to. And I think that's sort of clouding the judgment. Okay, is Stephen Fry's style and the explanation, for everyone's cup of tea, pun intended? No. But
this is a tea time show, by the way.
It is a tea time show. But what I'm saying is that Gordon is right. Stephen Fry makes it British. And to have a British show to have a British version of an American show be as well as this, my mind's a little changed. A little bit.
I mean, now Chico's right. With Stephen Fry, if Stephen Fry did this sort of shtick in America, would it go over well? No, it would not. But he's not in America. He's in Britain. Just like, again, in Only Connect, Victoria Cohen. Sorry, the last name, I just said Victoria the first time. Victoria Cohen goes through everything and talks about it and does that sort of thing. And that's why it works. Because, again, it's British, but they spell everything out. They lay everything out for you. So you're not just sitting there like you're a stupid American at Jeopardy, and sometimes you don't get the clues. You're just like, okay. And here, if you don't get it, it's explained to you. I mean, it's refreshing. It's fun. And again, Stephen Fry is not for everybody's taste, but I think the British part of it's really nice. I really, 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 really enjoy this version of the show. As I said, I'll be the high grader from all of you because I know you're not going to give it an A+, but that's what I'm giving it.
It is not an A+ show. I will be a little bit. I will say A-.
Okay.
I will say I was. Remember, Chico, you and I talked in pre-production.
You can argue me down to an A. Okay, I won't say A+. A.
Okay,
okay,
you fine.
You won't argue me down to A-, but it's definitely an A.
Okay, right. But to me, it's an A- because Stephen Fry is a little too much, but that is the only thing wrong with it. And I like his hosting style. I like how, like I said, it's Jeopardy. Even the worst Jeopardy is bad Jeopardy, but this isn't bad Jeopardy at all. This is great. This is terrific. It's A-. What do you?
Yeah, this is a really good show.
By the way, let me add to this: the writing is fantastic.
Yes.
The writing is amazing, and I'm not just saying that because the Jeopardy writers' room is perhaps the toughest writers' room in all of game shows. The Jeopardy UK writers' room emulates that perfectly, I think.
Yes. And again,
completely agree.
First of all, they got the Jeopardy style, and they wrote it in such a, it was like, wow, they wrote this? Really? Okay.
Can I get my grade so we can move on? Because we could spend forever on this, but we got a show to finish here.
Yeah, go ahead.
So the people who produced Jeopardy UK, they understood the assignment. It's a little too slow, especially for me having watched 40 years of Jeopardy my own self, but aside from that, it is at its brass basics, Jeopardy done right. It's an A show for me.
Okay. That's great. Now, let's end this very shortened first round with money, as in what happened on Tuesday's Wheel of Fortune, sir?
Well, before I go into the clip, which I do have, we need some context. It is day two of Happy New Year week on Wheel of Fortune. We have Lindsay Dow from Mayville, Texas, Jean Laura from Davenport, Florida, and LaToya Russell from Irmo, South Carolina, which is just outside of Columbia, she says. LaToya sweeps the prize puzzle round. She wins a soothing bubble bath worth $8,950 and a trip to New Orleans. And going into the final round, final spin, with a proper name, she leads with $19,500. And I found if you solve the prize puzzle round, you pretty much win the game, as is the case this time, where she wins with $19,500. Going into the $100,000 bonus wheel, she has the choices of thing, phrase, and person. She picks person. She lands on the P in spin. She asks for a C, an M, a D, and a zero. A zero. A C, an M, a D, and an O. What happens next will amaze,
share the clip, please,
and astound you. The following clip is from Sony Pictures Television.
She's going to have her work cut out for her, but you know what? She's a good player. You talk it out, you know, there's a used letter board, maybe that'll help you. Person is the category. 10 seconds. Good luck.
A public official?
On the other hand, maybe.
Oh my gosh!
I'm doing a big chalk up for you. You solved the puzzle, you win 100.
LaToya win a green in the new year. $100,000.
$119,500. Happy New Year!
This is amazing!
Our new year off to a very nice start. Now, the good news is that you're on $119,500. You feeling okay?
I'm okay. I'm pinching myself to see if it's real, but yeah, I'm okay.
Now, the bad news is it's very early in the year. You've really cut into our budget. So, tomorrow in this time period will be a Leave It to Beaver rerun. Wally, well, I won't spoil it for you. Anyway, congratulations.
Thank you, Pat. Thank you.
I don't know how we're going to top this, but we'll try tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Yeah, 119.5. First win. Two takes 2 days in. He's got 5 months to get the million in before he goes. Will we see that? We don't know. We don't. But yeah, that's it for the first act. What's coming up, Chico?
Still to come. The toilet is awaiting his grand and glorious debut. But first, that's all the news you didn't even know you needed to know with Gordon Pepper and Jason Block. My name is Chico Alexander. Stick and stay with 5&1, your home for We Love to Interrupt. You give us 22 minutes.
And we'll give you 22 things that will make you want to have brain bleach when we describe what we're going to be doing with Jason with a diaper.
Brain bleach!
You want to burp him?
No, you didn't. No burping, no changing. I can do it myself. Just head to break. We'll be right back. Here on 5-1. Let's go.
We're sending you signals every day.
We're sending you signals every day.
We're sending you signals every day.
I'll be feeling sad, but you're too busy to notice.
My grades will drop, and you'll yell at me for not trying.
I don't see my friends anymore.
And you think it's good that I'm always home.
We are sending you signals every day.
I need you to look.
I need you to listen. And ask me if you can help.
WLTI and 5-1 Productions has been brought to you by Kentucky Fried Tar Heels. Whee! You want to know what the flavor is? The flavor is Jacksonville Jambalaya.
Jacksonville isn't even known for Jambalaya.
They are now.
They are now. Because they're Jambalaya with some donut holes. Because that's how many points they scored. They got a big old bingo donut. So, but, you know what? Yep, that works too. That's Kentucky Fried Tar Heels, Ramsey's done right.
The toilet will not be denied his spotlight, apparently.
Well, we'll give this toilet some spotlight, but before we do that, roll that beautiful green footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media at Doug Morris Games, at Rock 104 Rock Tracks, and at Tracks Productions. And don't forget to listen to Doug Morris every Sunday as he does Rock Tracks with Doug Morris from his palatial estate in the Pine Belt on Rock 105, WXRR 104.5 on your FM dial, and of course, all over the known
multiverse
on rock104fm.com and the Odyssey app and the WXRR Rock 105 app.
Okay. We have one bat this week.
Yeah, and we teased it as much last week, if you remember.
Yeah, it's Claire Schneer. Sorry, I did it again. I apologize. I've got to get used to doing this stuff again. I know, it was just last week. Claire McNear, who broke the Mike Richards story on The Ringer, has sort of enhanced the Mayim Bialik story as to why she was let go or told not to come back, let's say. What do you have, Chico?
Well, first of all, I've got a reaction from the new but not really host of Jeopardy, Ken Jennings, who says that, and I have the quote right here, "It took me off guard because I loved working with Mayim and I'm going to miss her." Now, that was an interview that The Hollywood Reporter published. "I can't speak to her decision-making process or her opinions about it, but on my end, I'm just a fan of Jeopardy and I'm always delighted to host when they call upon me. I just feel extremely lucky to have even been considered for this job as a non-broadcaster." That is about as perfect a legal answer as you could possibly give.
Yeah, I mean, there's really not much to say about this. You know, everybody has sort of hammered this home, and they all have their opinions. I certainly have mine. But it is what it is. Life's going to go on. It's certainly not going to affect Jeopardy in a negative way. At least I don't think so.
Only to the few who felt that Mayim Bialik was not given a fair shot.
Yeah, and then there was, and we talked about this ad nauseum last year, still feels weird to say last year when it was just a few months ago. But we talked about this. Sources close to the show, and this is according to the Ringer article by Claire McNear. This stands was not exactly what it seems. Jeopardy and other game shows are guided by a distinct set of union provisions known as the Network Television Code, meaning that while Jeopardy writers are members of the WGA and thus were part of the strike, which began its, the rest of the staff and crew were not. SAG-AFTRA, which began its own strike in July, in which Bialik and Jennings are both members, explicitly advises non-striking members to continue to work per the terms of their contracts. To do otherwise can weaken the union's negotiating power because it indicates that members might not follow the letter of the contract. And if you remember, Mayim Bialik walked off the set in solidarity with the striking writers, even though Network Television Code completely forbade this at the time.
So it was, yeah, we will go with that. But, Gordon, you sent me the date book, and it's pretty big. Thursday is the Golden Wedding, which, again, a spinoff of one of the most successful shows of last year. I can't believe I'm saying that again, as we said. Friday is last one Laugh in Quebec, and the season premiere of RuPaul's Drag Race. Sunday is the season premiere of Worst Cooks in America, Spoiled Rotten, on Food and Max. God, that show has declined so, wow, just so badly. Monday is the season finale of Love Island Australia, and the premieres of Cash Cab Music on Access TV, and Blank Slate, which we'll review next week on GSN. And
Wednesday, just basically Match Game old school, if you think about it.
Mm-hmm. And next week, The Trust, Game of Greed. Interesting. Premieres on Netflix. But let's talk about Dad Apto.
And this week, we are talking about the Supermarket Sweep channel. We talked about it previously, but now Pluto TV has given us a date of this month when they will add it to their lineup. And Supermarket Sweep channel is going to air, presumably, all of the versions of the show, except for the really, really old ABC version, of which I don't think any tapes actually exist. But okay. Any version that Fremantle Media completely has its hands on, they're going to air. So we might see Leslie Jones. We definitely will see David Ruprecht. And, you know, I can never say anything bad about David Ruprecht. But, yeah, Supermarket Sweep channel on Pluto TV. Be on the lookout for it.
Okay. Well, David Ruprecht is the person that made this thing work. And, you know, obviously we've seen season one, the early ones with Mr. Yuck and some other fun stuff. This is going to be fun, and, you know, for lightweight programming, this is pretty smart.
And yeah, very smart. And by the way, David Ruprecht is one of those guys I put on the underrated and not as appreciated game show hosts. You know, like Jim Perry, Jeff Edwards, and others. Okay. But this ain't so smart. However, there is a little update to this.
There is okay. An update, but first, here's Bob.
That's dumb.
Yeah. So Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show basically said that Jimmy Kimmel, host of Millionaire, should worry when the Jeffrey Epstein papers came out, which some of them came out today. Okay. And, well, Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Kimmel, said,
a little bit of background. On Tuesday, Aaron Rodgers was on his BFF's show on ESPN and basically said, all but accused Jimmy Kimmel of being on that list that was revealed earlier today. Upon which time, Jimmy Kimmel posted this on X, formerly known as Twitter. Dear, for the record, I've not met, flown with, visited, or had any contact whatsoever with Epstein, nor will you find my name on any list other than the clearly phony nonsense that soft-brained wackos like yourself can't seem to distinguish from reality. Your reckless words put my family in danger. Keep it up, and we will debate the facts in further in court.
Now, there was... Well, I'll give the one thing, and then we'll get to the media apology because Pat McAfee had to do that. There was an alleged, and I'm going to say this honestly, there was an alleged deposition mentioning Jimmy Kimmel's name. That turned out to be fake, as I'm surfing Twitter right now. Legitimately surfing Twitter as we speak. But the Pat McAfee had to do the media apology because
ultimately the buck stops with the host.
Yes.
I have what he said, and he started the show with this.
Mm-hmm.
I can see exactly why Jimmy Kimmel felt the way he felt, especially with his position, but I think Aaron was just trying to talk. But did it go too far? Jimmy Kimmel certainly said that that was the case. We obviously don't like the fact that we're associated with anything negative ever. We like our show to be an uplifting one, a happy one, a fun one. But it's because we talk and try to make light of everything. Some things, obviously, people get very pissed off about, especially when they're that serious allegations. So we apologize for being a part of it. Can't wait to hear what Aaron has to say about it. Hopefully those two will just be able to settle this, not court-wise, but be able to chit-chat, move along.
No. Narrator. Jimmy ain't moving along. So we will see about that. But we need
to... It should be noted that in the ticker at the beginning of the show, every show, the Pat McAfee show says, P.S. Please don't sue us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know someone who's being sued for divorce.
Not really sued for divorce, but...
Yeah, you get sued for divorce. That's what you get sued for. Hit the haterade.
Haterade!
So, I believe it is Rachel Lindsay who is filing for divorce after 4 years.
Yeah, according to People, Abasolo filed for divorce, listing December 31st as the date of separation and citing our good friend irreconcilable differences. He has shared on Instagram, "If you've been following me for a while, you know I don't like to put my personal affairs on social media and I like to keep a safe space for our family. Many of you know me as a chiropractor and also as a husband, my proudest role so far. After more than 4 years of marriage, Rachel and I have made the difficult decision to part ways and start anew. My parents have been married forever, and I'm a family man, but sometimes loving yourself and your partner means you must let go. I wanted you to hear it from the source before the blogs start making up their own reality. Please respect the spaces of our family and friends as we figure out our next steps."
That is a mature way of handling it.
That is indeed a mature way of handling it.
I agree with that. So, yeah. That is actually quite good. So, where are we sending Aaron, Jimmy, and our divorced couple?
How's Canada this time of year?
Cold.
Okay, in that case, let's send them there.
Okay.
That song never gets old, by the way. Oh, okay, so we're talking about Jeopardy! UK and how we really like it. No way to watch it legally here in the U.S. without the use of a VPN. But if you're living in Canada, you can watch Jeopardy! UK starting January 10th at 9 p.m. on BBC First. That's their BBC... network in Canada.
Like BBC America here.
Yes, although not as many Star Trek The Next Generation reruns.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you're in Canada, lucky you, you get Jeopardy UK. We have to work for it.
Well, yeah, well, that's good, but let's get, you know, Jeopardy and all these other new shows are producing lots of media hosts. Let's
do it.
Yes,
they are. In this week's Media Pro Report, Aaron Evans from season one of The Traitors UK returns to reality TV on First Dates on Channel 4. Jonathan Bennett is to make his premiere on Broadway in Spamalot. Good for him.
I have one. Dwayne Johnson makes his return to WWE and challenges Roman Reigns at Day One Raw on Monday. Subtly, but he changed it, challenged it. So, because he wants to sit at the, because he wants to sit at the head of the table, you sit.
Oh man, Roman Reigns is gonna get his fake butt kicked. Anyway,
yeah.
Susan Knowles, a former Golden Bachelor contestant, will officiate the Golden Wedding.
Interesting. Okay.
Nice to know that there's no bad blood there. Shecky Green, a Las Vegas legend, passed away. He was on Hollywood Squares, Match Game, and Tattletales.
Mm-hmm.
We also had to say goodbye to Drag Race Thailand contestant Bandit. And also Bobby Rivers, who hosted the syndicated game show Bedroom Buddies. Hey, blink if you missed it. Show from 1988.
And Gordon, you and I know this because he was a local reporter for WPIX 11 for a long, long time. He was an entertainment reporter for them, I believe.
Yes, he was.
Claudia Winkleman also almost turned down The Traitors UK, but hey, look what she's doing now. She's getting ready for season two. And Chris Harrison says he's grateful that he's gone from the very toxic situation that was his gig as host of The Bachelor. Chris. Wasn't that toxic when you were making bank, was it?
No. And the fact is that you didn't leave the toxic situation. You were asked to leave. There's a difference. There is a big, excuse me, big difference.
Difference.
Yes.
Oh,
but none of those are your hoe of the week.
None of yours are your hoe of the week. But guess who is? A man who just stayed up way past his bedtime for your entertainment. That would be Ryan Seacrest, who now he made the deal last month, but he announced it to the world that he is, and now I'm using his quotes here, postponing retirement.
Yeah, he signed a new multi-year deal with iHeart.
Yes.
Not like he needs work, but you know.
Here is his quote from Good Morning America. I'm very excited about that. Unfortunately, I signed a deal to stay on the radio with iHeartRadio for a few more years, so I will postpone retirement.
In other words, I got money! Yeah, he found it all right. And those are your O's.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
I am hitting the button right now.
All right. Okay. Go ahead, Jack.
And no, because I have to uncrate the toilet, man. We get a new one every, like, 6 months. It's in the budget, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think we have the budget for the toilet that we're about to unleash this time.
I know. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 shows so far, right? 7? Looks like 7 to me. And we will do that right here at 5-in-1 Studios. This is We Love to Interrupt. We will be right back. We'll be right back.
WLTI is presented by The Vaulted Ceiling. From the makers of The Floor, we have 81 people hanging from 81 chandeliers with 81 categories to them. The last one standing, or hanging in this case, will win $250,000. It looks like Hang Tough. It reads like a Survivor challenge, but it is a straight quiz. It is The Vaulted Ceiling. Because it's got to be more exciting than The Floor, right?
Well, only if the, you know, if the wires don't hold.
Okay, I was going to say, if you lose, they drop the chandelier.
onto spikes.
That sounds painful.
Onto spikes. But you know what's not as painful?
Hosted by Sia.
Halted? Are you kidding me?
Chandelier.
I see what you did there.
I got the reference. Okay. So
now, Jay, please bring in the toilet.
I will bring in the toilet, and it is time for one of our favorite segments of the year: Push or Flush. We have 7 shows to predict what we think about them. If we really like it, we will push it. If we kind of like it, we pastry it. If we're in the middle, we're going to piggle it. If we really don't like it, it's jiggle. And if we hate it, it's a clog. It's a flush. 3 flushes is a clog. And I don't know. I don't think so, but we'll see. Let's start it with America's Got Talent Fantasy League. I gave it an F. I'm flushing this.
I gotta flush it too, because holy cow, why are we even discussing this?
OJ, you just said, I don't think it's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. Flush.
All right, first one of 2024. 3, 2, 1, flush! See? The combination of peppermint bark and winter fresh. Tasty. The opposite side, Kids Baking Championship. Of all the competition shows that Food Network does, this one is the best because Valerie Bertinelli and Duff Goldman treat the kids with respect, and everything is great about this push.
I love this show, and this show gets an audience every time they air it, and you get a good feeling watching this show. So, yeah, I'm going to push it.
I don't get as good of a feeling of watching this, but I still get a good feeling. So, pastry.
Okay. Good enough.
All right.
That's fair. Next one, we just reviewed it, The Floor. Could have been so much better. Jiggle.
You are way too kind, Jay. It is it's a flush. I'm going to flush it.
I am too. It could be so much more, but it's just boring.
Then you know what?
It really is. It makes
No, don't change your mind just because we wanted to do it.
Okay, fine. Okay. I mean, like I said, I just think that there's something there.
There is a game there, but yeah, it's okay. Way too boring.
Okay. I Can See Your Voice on Fox as well. It's The Masked Singer with singing. Again, it's not flush worthy, but it's a jiggle.
Yeah, I mean, I loved it the first go around, but then it just went repetitive, and they're doing nothing to address how repetitive it is. It is a jiggle.
It's flush worthy for me. Flush it.
Okay.
That's fair too. All right.
Next in that same vein
is We Are Family. I have not seen it yet. We were gonna, because it's on my DVR. But from what I've seen it, and I hate to say this because I know a few people who are on this show, this could have been so much better. Jiggle.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you know what? This is... I want to like this as much as I like anything, but I can't. It's a chickle here.
You both are being too kind. My New Year's resolution is going right down that toilet. Flush.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Last one laughing, Quebec. I'm not a fan of this piggle. I'm really not a fan of this format.
I'm not a fan of it either. It's a chiggle.
Oh, the heck with it. Flush this also.
Oh, okay.
And finally,
RuPaul's Drag Race on MTV and Viacom. I'm going to be doing something that I didn't think I was going to do. I'm flushing this because I think the format is tired. I think they're going way into... They haven't... I don't think they've crowned a real champion in the last... Since, really, Simone in season 14 or 15. I think everything has been, you know, publicity and Q rating and not about the show. It's gotten too big for itself. Flush.
I am not going to flush it, but I am not going to push it either. I'm going to give it a piggle because I am not a fan of the Raider Queen that's set to happen with this next season.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with both of you and disagree with both of you at the same time. I agree. The Raider Queen is just there to cause drama. It's almost sort of like you're starting to throw in all-stars into your flagship show, which you don't need. It definitely is not flush-worthy, but it's not a great start either. But that being said, I expect more out of this show. I think the show will deliver. But that does stop me from pushing it. So, Patriotus.
Fair enough. We will have more shows next week on the toilet. But for now, we need a quick speed round. And we will do that right after this here at 5-1. We'll be right back.
WLTI is presented by Kim Petras's Coconuts. You can put it in your mouth. So juicy, so ripe, you wouldn't believe. They have different names, Mary Kate and Ashley. They ask, what's the size? Just give it a squeeze. Strawberry, mango, lime, don't compare to these. Kim Petras's Coconuts. Cans coconuts.
Good night, everybody.
They're cans.
Yes, good night. But before we say good night, let's talk about the speed round and let's start it. Now, is there anything really to talk about? That's what I'm gonna think.
Is somebody gonna win $1 million Wheel of Fortune?
No.
Is somebody gonna win $1 million on Press Your Luck?
No.
No.
Are people going to keep watching America's Got Talent?
Yes.
Yes.
Probably.
Care.
No. We're right now in the waiting for all the big shows to drop in February. Really.
Yeah, and the thing of it is, one of the shows that we like to cover around here is going to drop on Friday. It's going to be RuPaul's Drag Race. We're going to cover that next week. What is about to go wrong with Raider Queen, I wonder?
Again, all joking aside, this is Gordon was absolutely right. What you're doing is you're throwing napalm on gasoline. And you all know that the queens are bitchy enough, and I'm saying that in the most positive way possible, to get fake drama or real drama in there just because is crap. It's no good. Go down to are the basics enough? You know, I mean, RuPaul...
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing that means you don't have faith in your contestants.
Right. Yep.
So,
You don't. But do we have any New Year's email?
We do not, but if you want to send us some, our address is WLTI@GameShowNewsNet.com. Of course, we're on all social media at Game Show News Net. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I am at Beat the Block, the number 2.
And I am GSNN Haterade.
And of course, the network is at 5and1net. That is the number 5, ANDONENET. And that is on Facebook, Instagram, and X, formerly known as Twitter. And of course, we talk about everything and anything going on network-wide on our socials, including what we talked about last night with Ian VRM and Jessica Brand, the upcoming week 18. And oh boy, all I could say is the Vikings are hanging on by a thread, and as bad as Ian felt about it, Jessica felt infinitely worse.
Because of Alabama, you see. She is definitely, because the tide did not roll. As we also talked college, we have Michigan versus Washington next Monday night for the Natty.
Hey, do you approve of that? Do you approve of that matchup, G?
Sure.
Okay. And of course, all the foot we will be covering that, and we will be previewing Wild Card Weekend as we will next Tuesday night. Gordon, what's happening in the UBA? Are we back to full strength?
We're back to full strength. We're starting match number 6 this weekend as we get closer and closer to the halfway point.
Oh my goodness! Wow. Crazy. Of course, on the NAWC, I mentioned it earlier, Dwayne Johnson returned, and he is signed for WrestleMania. Probably Elimination Chamber as well. He challenged Roman Reigns to a match. We don't know when it will be or where it will be. We'll also be talking about World's End, where MJF is gone, and the new Undisputed Kingdom. I guess you can't use Undisputed Era because it's trademarked by Endeavor now, is the new supergroup formed by Adam Cole, because now Adam Cole was revealed as the Devil. And that's Matt Taven, Mike Bennett, Wardlow, Adam Page, and of course, Roderick Strong. Okay. And we'll be talking about all that as the new year as WrestleMania season comes off with a bang. On the NAWC. What's happening on It Was a Thing?
All right, on It Was a Thing on TV, we just talked about The Good Life, which features a whole lot of talented people, and Drew Carey, because he is way bigger than that show, I think. And since it is just about midnight on the East Coast as we record this, we have a new episode dropping based on the 1980 entry, The Tim Conway Show, which is basically CBS's attempt to bring back the magic of the Carol Burnett Show 2 years too late. So all of that is at itwasathingontv.com.
All right. What's happening next week?
Next week, we are going over RuPaul's Drag Race. We have a review of We Are Family, and we'll talk about...
Wheel of Fortune UK as well.
And maybe Wheel of Fortune UK as well. And speaking of Wheel of Fortune, we're going to talk about its sister show, Jeopardy, as we wrap up Second Chance Week 3 and Semifinal Week 2 on Celebrity Jeopardy. And all of that is coming up next week right here on this here podcast that we'd love to do for you so darn much. For Gordon Pepper, for Jason Block, for everybody at 5and1, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up, and we thank you for yours. Game over. Spread the love.